Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And good morning, it's Saturday once again, and guess what? We are back again.
Good Lord. Thought you were going to say, now for the top hits from 1947 or something.
I know, around in 1947.
A real rock and roll show here we got going.
Absolutely. We had fun, Cliff and I, last Sunday. We went ahead and gave our charm to one of the other Blog Talk Radio program.
That's right.
Nick and Lynn's Politics Conservative Corner. Say that three times fast. Nick and Lynn's Politics Conservative Corner. Check them out. They're on Blog Talk Radio and had a very interesting conversation with them. Kind of went, it was kind of fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I will have to say that they are one of the few shows on Blog Talk that will get to a subject enough to irate, to raise your hackles or shackles or whatever the hell those things are, and get you going. And finally, I sat there for a long time and finally got going enough that I had to talk. I had to call in and join the and yell at them a little. But you know, and that's the other thing. They're really good. Talk. What's the gentleman's name? Nick.
Nick.
Really good talk show. He has something to yell back and holler and scream and jump up and down and all that stuff. But when he's through, he's still your friend. And that's neat. That is neat.
That's the way to do it. You know, that's
just... Oh, that's it. You know, I'm here to get people to think. I'm not here to get mad at anybody. I mean, you know, I can get mad at you and you know, raise a discussion. As I always say, cuss and discuss. And but when you're through, you don't even have to agree with me. You know, we just discussed it, and we've given each other the opportunity to perhaps change our mind. But if not, then you haven't done your job good enough. If I haven't changed his mind, then I haven't done my job good enough to convince him that he's wrong.
Is that why you're also taking blood pressure medication?
That may be it. Yes, I have been on medication for quite a while. No kidding. Hopefully that isn't my problem all my life, but you never know. It could be.
Well, it was kind of interesting. It was kind of fun being on the show, yes, for calling in and experiencing it from that side. And one thing that I learned is that when you log into the chat room, and by the way, we do have our chat room open right now, if you log in as guest, you can't comment.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, you have to sign up for Blog Talk Radio. You don't have to sign up as a radio show personality. You can just sign up to get an account. It's all free, of course, which I think is unfortunate because I think people that are checking it out shouldn't have to sign up to be able to comment in the chat room, just like they don't sign up to call us.
Well, that's true. That's true. But I do feel that if you're going to be in the chat room and you're going to comment to us, I'd rather you call. I want to talk to you. I don't want to. I'm not seeing the chat room, by the way. Robin is, and I suppose I should pull it up. Maybe I'll have to try that next week. But I don't watch the chat room. But don't, you know, you're welcome to talk to us in the chat room. That's fine. I'm not going to say no. But I'd rather you call. It's just real easy, and I'd like to talk to you. I want to know what you really think. And the chat room is much too slow to be able to do that. I mean, I'm not even a bad typist. I'm a good typist, but it's still much too slow to be able to actually accomplish anything in the chat room.
And I make no apologies for my spelling because I know I'm bad.
Oh, well, I've seen other people that are talking in the chat room. You're not bad at all. Believe me. Whoa, especially emails that I get. I can't believe some of the stuff I get in emails. It's just insane. But nobody seems to worry too much about spelling at this point. I have problems with my eyes, too, so I was with my my optometrist yesterday. That is eyes, not feet, isn't it? Anyway.
I hope so. And he stuck something in my eye.
Okay. But anyway, I was talking to him because when he sits down there and looks in my eye, he has a nurse in the room, and he looks in my eye, and he gives her information to put into the computer. Well, he sounds like this. It left 26.9 and PDS and RS2 and a QSL RF. I mean, he doesn't ever say any word except left or right eye. And other than that, it's all just a bunch of jargon and jumble and stuff, you know. And I mentioned it. I says, you know, people talk about how kids have made up their own language, you know, WTF and OMG and all that kind of stuff. And I says, you're way ahead of them. You're talking in total gibberish. And he says, yeah, he says, you should see it when we go to a conference. She says, my wife won't even go to dinner with me because we all sit there and talk like that. And she gets really frustrated. So anyway, yeah, I'm sorry.
I had something in my R27-15-32 one time. And
yeah, exactly. I mean, can you imagine sitting through a whole dinner of people doing that? I mean, they know what they're saying, but we don't. So.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, it's I couldn't believe when I first heard him doing that. And she's sitting over there just typing furiously away. She knows what the hell he's saying.
I think
so. Whatever.
I just think they're just making up just a sound for it.
Yeah, really. Well, if that's what he's doing, then I'm going to get really mad because he keeps poking me in the eye with needles and everything else. And if he's just doing that for fun, I'm pissed. So. But no, by the way, I have to say this in the world since I brought this up. And it means nothing to most of the people in the rest of the world, but I go to a gentleman named Dr. Karth. I think he is absolutely fantastic, and I do believe that my vision has improved at least 50% since he's been poking me in the eye with needles. So it is worth it.
And to those who don't know, because you're actually facing blindness there for a while.
Oh, I'm legally blind. I was definitely legally blind. I couldn't see. I can't drive. I can't get a driver's license. I think right now I almost could. I know I can drive now without any real problem. I'm not doing it, but I think I could actually even go in and get a driver's license, but I'm not positive. But I'm pretty sure that by the time he's through, I probably will be able to. But you're right. My vision was so bad that I couldn't read. On the computer, I could read on the computer if I made the print big enough that there was like six lines of screen or something like that, you know, huge. But I can actually read 10 or 12 or 16 point print now. So it's down quite a bit. It was up like 30 point for a while.
Well, kind of encouraging or scary is I saw an article a couple of weeks back where they're actually working on a car for the blind.
A car for the blind?
Right.
That is scary, yes. I mean, I've often said that we need to have, because, you know, are you aware that Ford has a car that will park itself for you, parallel park?
Yeah, and there's actually a, you remember Kit from Knight Rider?
Yeah.
Well, there's actually a production car, I think it's made by GM, but don't quote me on that one. It's overseas right now that will actually drive itself.
Well, see, they have cars that will drive themselves, but you have to have some sort of thing that they follow. I mean, you know, there has to be some way to tell them where to go and what not to do. And so, but they've got the little radar things on them or whatever they are, little motion sensors and distance sensors and such things that keep them from hitting anybody. You can't hit anybody. But, and hopefully if somebody's coming at you at a fairly reasonable rate of speed, you can get out of their way. But you still have to have, you know, the GPS is not reliable enough at this point in life to tell the car where to go. I mean, you can tell the car, and then you still have to pay attention because you have no idea where the hell you're going to end up. So, I mean, just try your GPS sometimes and see if it actually gets you exactly where you want to go.
I have stories. Yeah, this is office's vision, and one of the limitations for it coming to the States is that if it gets into an accident, they're not sure who is liable. I mean, anyway,
well,
what we do, as we're already 10 minutes into the show, is give out the phone numbers and how they can reach us. You can call us at 646-721-9887. And, of course, like, the chat room is open if you'd like to join.
See, that's where I was actually going, believe it or not, when I started talking about I'd rather have you call in the chat room. Ultimately, the reason for saying that was to give the phone number, and then I got totally sidelined and didn't do it.
We do that.
Story of my life.
646-721-9887. We'd love to hear from you and on this or any other topic you feel like talking about. Even just call, say hi. We'll even accept that. We're not too picky. We do this for fun.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, you know, I keep saying, or I think I keep saying, maybe I don't, because who knows where I end up when I start talking. But but anyway, I keep saying, you can bring up a different subject. If you have something on your mind that really makes your blood boil, bring it up, and we'll boil your blood a little more for you. I mean, hell yes.
Yeah, and if you miss the show, there are several ways you can send us a message. One, you can go to the Blog Talk website, and there is a provision in there where you can leave us a comment, or you can send us an email at talk@krvnradio.com and send us your comments, what you think about the show, any suggestions that you have, or a topic idea. We'd love to hear from you.
Now, you said if you miss a show, you can go there.
If you miss
a show, you can go there and listen to it as well. You can either go to Blog Talk and listen to it on Blog Talk Radio itself, or you can go to kbrnradio.com. KRBN, rather. I'll get it right. KRBN Robin. Okay. Robin Radio. KRBN.com. KRBN Radio. That has to be in there. I'll get it. KRBNradio.com. It's easy if your mind works. To go there and it's in the window on the side over there. You can listen to it or the archives over there as well. So
45 years in professional radio and you still can't get the call sign right.
Well, I could if it was KSFE Needles, but because I was there for a long time, or KMO Tacoma, Tacoma's own KMO. Anyway,
let's get down to business here. I got a what the heck that I hopefully
you
know.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
I know I keep saying this, but it still sounds like this week's hits. Anyways, this one comes from the Chicago Tribune, July 26th edition, where Darlene Helsup, attending the Elmhurst, Illinois City Council meeting about his plans to hire a $30,000 state lobbyist, was ejected from the meeting for being disruptive because she could not contain herself. After being ejected from the meeting, two other aldermen had objected to the eviction, and the two of them got up and left the meeting, therefore ending the meeting due to a lack of a quorum. The city's attorney's office had been directed to research a legal definition of disorderly conduct and disruptive behavior regarding this type of particular outbreak. First, Gapush. And anyways, can you guess what the charge was?
I had no idea.
Okay. Darlene Helsup, during the meeting, signified her disapproval by sighing and rolling her eyes.
What?
That's why she was expelled. Making faces behind the mayor's back is disruptive, in my opinion, said the committee chairman, Stephen Hiskind, who told Helsup to leave.
So okay, behind his back, I wouldn't ask him to leave, but I would ask him to, if you're going to, you know, if you have a comment, because that is equivalent to a comment. Yeah. And if you have a comment, do it to my face. Don't do it behind my back, especially if the cameras are watching, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, that's nothing worse than they keep showing these these things on television about the little kid who falls asleep behind President Obama or any of the presidents. The little kid sits there and falls asleep or yawns or something like that. You know, a little kid maybe, but they weren't doing it to be disruptive, and they probably weren't standing behind the person on purpose. But someone who's back there and does that, I'm one who would roll my eyes and do that sort of thing, but I wouldn't do it where everybody in the world could see it except the person I'm rolling my eyes at.
Well, and I doubt that somebody would call attention to it by saying, "You rolled your eyes, get out of here."
Well, that is a little, I don't know. I'm almost there. I'm almost at that point. I mean, because that's quite a comment if you're doing it where the rest of the world can see and the guy can't. So I'm sort of 50-50 on that one. That's true, you know.
Well,
interesting.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting, the fact that the city's attorney's office are looking into it to see if that is actually classified as a orderly or disorderly conduct. But anyways, before we get into our topic today, which is black boxes and cars, I got a little rat and rave I want to do.
Okay, rant.
Rant. Because that's your response. Things that get your blood to boil.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is over the Arizona immigration, where the judge, Susan Bolton, had ruled against the major provisions of the SB 1070. But what came out later in the week is what's really got me fired up. And this is a memo that is from the U.S. Citizens and Immigration Services office, basically stating that there is another way that the illegals can have citizenship, or at least not live in fear. And let me quote from this memo here. And there is a link to this on our main Blog Talk show page if you want to see the memo for itself. It says, this memorandum offers administrative relief options to promote family unity, foster economic growth, and achieve significant process improvements and reduce the threat of removal for certain individuals present in the United States without authorization. To promote family unity, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, could interpret two 1990 general counsel options regarding the ability of temporary protection status applicants who enter the United States without inspection to adjust or change their status. This would allow thousands of individuals in the TPS status to become lawful permanent residents where there is no relief appears available based on applicants' employment and our family circumstances, but the removal is not in the public interest. USCIS could grant deferred action. This would permit individuals for whom relief may become available in the future to live and work in the United States without fear of removal.
You're stopping there?
I'm stopping there.
This, you talk about your blood boiling. Your blood boiling. I got the whole thing as well. And the simple fact is the president has decided to say to hell with Congress. It's his own Congress. It's a Democratic Congress. And he's decided that he can't get this amnesty thing through. So he's not even submitting it. He's not even proposing it. He's using these little obscure rules and laws.
Up, and I think we just lost clear.
Us, without asking Congress? Oh, am I gone? Am I back again yet?
You're back.
I heard you say that. But anyway, he's doing this behind everybody's back. He's going around Congress. He's going around the United States public and population and just doing what he damn well pleases. And that's one thing. We have got to remove this president. We have got to get him out of there or get him under control. That's, you know, we've got an election coming up, folks, and we've got to get whoever's – oh, you're right. You really get me into this one. Oh, man. We've got to go in there. And anybody, we've got to put limits. There's a limit on how long the president can serve, and it's 2 terms, 4 or 8 years. Okay? We've got to do that with everybody.
I agree.
Absolutely everybody. We've got to do that with everybody. And the first thing we've got to do is this November, and I don't care how good that person has been for your state or your municipality or anything else, if they have been in there more than two terms, get them the hell out of there, because they are so arrogant, so convinced that they're better than we are, that they'll do any damn thing they want to. Right now, on the floor, the Republicans actually introduced a bill, and since the Democrats want to add an amendment to it, the Republicans en masse voted against it. So that they couldn't put the amendment on it, and they aren't passing their own damn bill because of the fact they don't want it amended by the Democrats. We're getting carried away with this Republican-Democrat just because we are a bit.
And that's the thing that really gets my blood boiling is that, and this is what I'm tired of hearing, is that, okay, it's kind of combined with the illegal immigration. I think there's more behind it than just getting the people here legally. What I'm hearing on the talk shows is that they're doing it for the Democratic vote. Well, if doing it strictly for the vote, and I think this kind of goes along with what you're saying, is more important than the security of our country, we need to get rid of the two-party system. We need to make some serious changes.
Exactly. Well, I don't know that we're going to ever get rid of the two-party system entirely. I think basically what we're going to do is get it back to where it's supposed to be so that it actually works. But we've got to elect people who are there to work for us, for the population, instead of themselves. Look at how many, are you aware that 44% of the Congress has become millionaires while they're in Congress? Now, something's wrong.
I agree.
They're not there to benefit themselves to that extent. They, you know, $160,000, $180,000 a year that they get paid is enough, God. It's enough to pay the person. I mean, you can live on that, even if you have to have two homes. Because I understand that you have to have a home in Washington, D.C., and have to have a home at home. But
well, we can provide it with a home in D.C. There's a lot of nice, fancy hotels up there that we can go ahead and provide them for free and cut their salary back. We can provide them with free public transportation.
No, I don't mind paying them enough to do that. I mean, $180,000 a year is not outrageous, in my opinion. But they don't just get that. They get travel expenses. They get all kinds of other expenses. They also get each senator, gets $1 million a year for staff, $1 million a year to hire or take care of staff. Now, they don't hire that many people. They don't pay that money out for that. It's all going somewhere else, and who knows how they're getting around that. But we've got to start by electing people who are hopefully honest. And, of course, now we get into my two big things. If you catch a politician in a lie, they should be removed from office and never be allowed to run for office again. Or if they haven't made it to the office, then they should be removed from the process. If they catch someone absolutely positively, you have to be positive about it, in a lie, so they'd stop lying. And then, all laws have a lifetime of 5 years, perhaps even lawmakers have a lifetime of 5 years, but still,
yes.
We've got too many laws that are already on the books and that are selectively being enforced. I've decided we need to come up with a website, and we need to come up with an organization, enforcethelaw.com.
There you go.
Because
one of the things that I've been preaching forever is we also need to add a system of a vote of no confidence, so when somebody does get in there and they forget why they're there, you know, because they promised anything to get in the office, that we have some avenue to get them out of there instead
there,
of waiting.
There, by the way, is that. There is a system to get them out of there. There are three things that they can do. The simplest one is what they're talking about doing to Representative Rangel, and that's a censure. Okay, that's nothing more than just a slap on the wrist and saying, okay, you're a bad boy. Then there is I don't remember what they're called, but they were talking about them on television yesterday. there is a center one which involves a large fine and that sort of thing, and then there is a third one which would remove them from office. So there is a system available in process, in place already, to remove people from the office. So we need to find out what it is, and perhaps we need to get a movement to remove some of these people.
Exactly. And, so when they, like again, looking at why, and I still haven't gotten an answer to this from anybody, why they're so adamant about keeping illegals here, I say follow the money. What is the real reason behind it?
Well, you know, and you know, another problem we have as far as the illegals are concerned, are the undocumented people. There's a big problem with them getting out. There are people who would like to leave and can't, because if you go to the border and decide that you want to leave the country, you have to show your passport. If you don't have papers, then they put you in jail. Just trying to leave, they put you in jail. We have got to have free portals. Okay, we've got to have free portals where people can get out of the country, just go there and leave, and no questions asked. Perhaps you need to get picture taken and ID and I mean, you know, and fingerprints and stuff like that, so that we, you know, have something to make sure you ain't coming back. But on the point is, you know, we've got to allow these. I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people who would like to get out of this country and are afraid to. They can't. They're afraid to even get anywhere close to immigration or any of those people that
chip everybody and track them. If they come back in the country, we can go after them. So there's some people.
Well, now you're gonna do it.
Anyways, we're 33 minutes remaining in the show. The show's going fast today. If you'd like to join us, 646-721-9887.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it's going quick today. If you have any final thoughts. On to our main topic.
Probably we should move on to our main topic, and we should get back to this immigration thing, because it is really becoming a wildfire is what it is. Maybe we could get into the wildfires in Bakersfield, too. Anyways,
on to our main topic. I have an explanation here about black boxes. On April 28, 2010, Senator Tom Udall... On April 28, 2010, Senator Tom Udall introduced vehicle safety legislation to require event data recorders, EDRs, otherwise known as the black box, to be installed on most vehicles and to record vehicle statistics for several seconds before and immediately after a crash that would provide vulnerable information for diagnosing vehicle malfunctions. The Vehicle Event History Information Capturing Leads to Engineering, or Vehicle, isn't that cute? Safety Improvement Acts of 2010 requires that EDRs be installed in all light-duty vehicles 8,500 pounds or less in the U.S. within 3 years of enactment, and in all medium to heavy-duty vehicles above 8,500 pounds within 7 years of enactment. The EDRs would be designed to record specific information, including seatbelt use, throttle position, brake position, speed at the beginning of the event, and the time of the event. It will not record conversations or vehicle location. GM Motors' new Vice President for Government Relations, Robert E. Ferguson, commented that the company backs legislation in the works from Representative Gene Green, Democrat, Texas, to mandate event recorders. Ferguson commented, "I think EDRs ought to be in every car," Ferguson said. "Devices ought to be readily available so that law enforcement can find out what happens to vehicles involved in crashes." According to the LRC blog on March 23, 2010, the EDR, or black boxes as they are commonly known, can record each little movement, giving immense amount of information on your whereabouts, your hobbies, your friends, your job, and your schedule. The data recorders will record your actions so that these so-called experts can interpret your behavior and spin the story on you any way that they wish. In the article of the USA Today, December 2004 issue, it was only a matter of time. Electronic devices in cars monitoring acceleration and braking to save fuel and improve safety. Now they're saving some of that data to give automakers and police better data on how you drive. Eric Scrum, spokesman for the National Motorists Association in Madison, Wisconsin, stated, "The problem is most people don't realize the devices are in their vehicles and that information can be used against you, and there's no sort of regulation of who owns that information." A consumer version of the black box sold by Davis Instruments of Haywood, California, sells a black box called CarChip, which will record throttle position and engine parameters for up to 300 hours of driving. Such a box can be used to monitor your teenager's driving habits. Progressive Auto Insurance is running a pilot program with 5,000 drivers in Minnesota using a device similar to CarChip called TripSense to record 6 months of driving data, including vehicle mileage, time of day, and speed to determine the driver's habits behind the wheel, where they can also get discounts on the premiums of 5 to 25%. And of course, I will provide links to this information on our homepage. Wow.
Really? Really? Well, you know, the whole thing, of course, is it mentioned in there, I caught this, it says, to provide information for X amount of seconds before a crash to X amount of time after the crash. Well, of course, that means it has to be on all the time, because how the hell are you going to know X amount of time have a crash? I mean, most instances, you know, you don't sit down and say, well, I'm going to crash in about 4 minutes from now. Okay, go ahead. Or tomorrow at 11 o'clock, I'm going to have a crash. You know, you don't usually, you know, get into doing that kind of thing. So
yeah, it's going to be late, so.
Yeah. So, you know, machine has to be running all the time. And
just like your car computer. In fact, the only limitation to how much data it can store is the size of memory that the computer in your car has. In fact, some of the black boxes are actually built into the car computer itself. So you can,
yeah.
You know.
Well, of course, in memory at this particular point is unbelievably cheap now. So putting enough memory in there to get several months would not be difficult to do, I don't think.
And have you ever tried to find out what's in a car computer?
I have no. I've never tried. As a matter of fact, I'm one of these really weird people that I won't buy a car new enough to have one.
Well, unfortunately, you know, I got a couple of vehicles that have them, a couple that don't. But I've tried to find some information about what all is pertained into it. And the way cars are nowadays, they are just like your home network. Instead of sending, you know, for each individual device, they actually have a network communications between devices. So there's a lot they can do and a lot that, you know, you don't know about.
Well, see, speaking of a lot that you don't know about, this topic gets a lot bigger than the black boxes in your car. Are you aware of how much you're being watched? And here's this guy wrote, "I was enjoying a meal with my wife the other day at a local restaurant, and after we ate, we decided to sit at the bar and have a drink while watching a local band play a few numbers. As I looked around the small crowd of people, I couldn't help but wonder if there were any hidden surveillance cameras in the bar. And the reason I was wondering this, of course, is that I happen to sell hidden cameras. And so I decided to pay a little attention. He says, as I was glancing over the liquor bottle display on the shelf, I noticed that there was a dark bottle of wine with a small hole, not much bigger than a pencil eraser, right in the middle of the bottle. I leaned forward and gave a little smile, then I waved and stuck my tongue out at the bottle. After a few minutes of my peculiar behavior, the manager came over to ask me if I was okay. When I explained that I was just showing off for the camera, he seemed clearly surprised that I knew it was there. And when I explained that what I did for a living, he gave me a perceptive nod of his head and asked if I would not tell anybody else about the bottle. If there's a security purpose, he says, just keep an eye on things. I agreed not to let his secret out, and the free drinks that he gave to my wife and I sealed the deal. I wasn't going to say anything. But the point being, there are cameras everywhere. Now, what we have to decide is what we do think about that. I mean, there's cameras in the bar, obviously. There are cameras, you know, damn well, there's cameras in every store of any size that you walk into. Actually, almost all stores nowadays, because it's very important. I mean, I know people with little podunk grocery stores in a service station that have cameras. And I know that because I sold them the cameras. But any place you go, you've got cameras, because everybody needs to be watched at this particular point in time. And what do you think about that? Why is that a problem? Is that a problem, or why is that a problem, or isn't it a problem? I mean, you go into any, you know, a store, Target, Kmart, any of those, you know good and well that you're on camera all the time. Are you aware of how good these cameras are? These people buy expensive cameras. These people buy cameras that are sometimes as good as or better than the ones on your local television station, because they have to be able to identify what's going on and who's going on with it. These are expensive cameras, and they're pieces of equipment that work with them.
And what's interesting is that,
you know,
the courts have decided that when you step outside of your house, that your right to privacy as far as being filmed, video, not audio, that you give up that right, and that's why they can have cameras all over the place. However, if you take, even though like Walmart, for example, may have a camera and you're being watched all the time in the store, Walmart would object to you bringing a camera in and filming inside the store.
Oh, by all means. I mean, even just taking a picture of the store itself and taking pictures of the aisles and all that sort of thing, they get all upset because how their store is laid out and what they have on the shelves in any particular point or any place is something that they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars deciding on. And if you can go in and take pictures and pass it on to somebody else, then, of course, that's moot point. But these store people get really into how their store is laid out, because they think that makes a huge amount of difference in what you buy and what you don't buy. I hate to tell them this. It does make a huge amount of difference in what I buy and what I don't buy. I don't go to Walmart. I don't like how they're laid out. I don't buy anything from them. And so that's made a huge amount of difference in what I buy and don't buy from them.
Well, getting Walmart to sponsor us.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, you bring up an interesting point, which kind of gets back to our topic, is privacy. These black boxes in your car, first of all, I mean, with this legislation that they're trying to do, the vehicle safety legislation, they're not saying anywhere in there that you, as the owner of the car, have to be informed about what your car is paddling on. And did you go bye-bye again? Yeah, Cliff went bye-bye again, which I think is an interesting point. Not that Cliff went bye-bye, but the fact that the vehicles will record just about anything that you do, date, time, the pressure of the accelerator, and what they can do with that information. I read where there was one instance that the investigators were investigating a crash where they thought that the car was traveling around 60 to 70 miles an hour, but according to the black box in the car, it actually turned out to be the vehicle was traveling about 110 miles an hour. So the driver was convicted of the accident just because of the information on the black box. And still trying to get Cliff back on the line here. Give me just a moment there, folks. Cliff has a service provider.
Well, this, is, I think, is Skype, because I have joined you three times, and it goes for a few seconds and then dumps for some reason or other.
Welcome. I missed you.
Yeah, really. No kidding.
Anyway, 646-721-9887, and we still got 21 minutes left in the show. We'd love to hear your comments regarding this or any other topic. We do have one person in the chat room logging as guest, and then, again, unfortunately with Blog Talk, if you'd like to participate in the chat room, Blog Talk does require you to at least sign up and get an account, which I think is...
Well, and why would you be in the chat room if you're not going to chat?
Well, probably it's not advertised, or at least not very prominent, that you can't participate if you're logged in as guest.
Ah, okay. So maybe they don't know.
Yeah, they don't know. But they can always call 646-721-9887. We promise we will kind of be gentle to you. But if you've never called a talk show before, now's the time to do it. We do have things open, which is why we keep giving up phone numbers.
Well, I still got to get back to this business that that it's not just your car. It's not just the stores. There are cameras now, of course, as you know, on the highways that catch you every time you hit a stop sign or go through a stop sign or stop light, rather, I guess. I think there are some at stop signs, too. And there are cameras just on the streets. And, you know, watch any television detective show, and you'll find out that that's where they get half of the people nowadays is from a camera at a store across the street on their entrance, but they can also pick you up. So you're being watched a huge amount of time. And my point is who cares?
Well,
does anybody actually care? And why do you care? Why do you care about who's watching you?
I think there should be a law, even though this is a little off topic in a way. All the cameras you're seeing on the streets, I mean, you got them at every, at least not like in Eugene, you got them at the majority of the traffic lights, which I've been told that they are using those instead of the wire loops. I would like it to be a law that on the side of the camera it says who owns it.
Well, the camera is usually up in the air. You wouldn't be able to see it.
Yeah, but there's traffic cams all up and down I-5. Some of those cameras are used for ODOT, and others are used for TV and radio stations to do their traffic reports.
Interestingly enough, the TV stations have now been given permission to tap into the ODOT, so they don't have their own anymore.
But I just like to know. But also, one other thing too, I wanted to get into as far as privacy in black boxes is unfortunately, I don't have a link to this. I've read a case where OnStar, which is the in-vehicle two-way communications device, in addition to that, OnStar can control some functions of your vehicle. And, of course, you know, in a crash, the vehicle can send a message to OnStar and you get emergency help, which is one of the positive things about it. But in the case that the police, and I believe they didn't have a warrant to do this, if I remember the article correctly, were eavesdropping on the people inside the vehicle through OnStar without their knowledge.
Okay, I guess I have to say, if you're not doing something wrong, and if you're not doing something illegal, why the hell do you care?
Well, there's a thing called privacy.
What is privacy? What is this big thing about privacy? If I'm not doing something that is illegal, why do I care if somebody knows what I'm doing?
Well, think about that. You know, it's called self-incrimination, because with all the laws and everything on the books, you could do or say something. Well, take a look at, what was it, Mel Gibson that's in trouble recently for making a racist comment in a private conversation.
But his conversation was recorded on a telephone.
Right.
And you don't think, I mean, did you hear that conversation?
No,
You don't think he should be in jail? I think he should be shot.
Well, I guess my point is, at what point do we want to give up our freedom, our privacy? You know, if I go from here to whatever in my car, I want to know, one, is somebody else listening? I want to know if my, like most cars now, have some sort of radio communications, whether it's OnStar or whether it's from your remote to unlock the door. What else do they have in there? What else is that car telling? You know, just like they've been talking about coming up with ways that a cop can shut down your car if they want to pull you over.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, I have mixed feelings on that. If my car is stolen, yeah, do that. OnStar will do that. They can dial it in and tell the car to slow down to a halt. Okay, great. In that case, it's a good idea. But who regulates that? You know, it's currently an OnStar thing, but what's to prevent somebody else from tapping into it? You know, same thing like with unlocking your car from remote like OnStar can do. I mean,
Now, that's where I get into the thing here, and I agree with you to a certain extent. See, I don't feel that there's any reason not to have all of this stuff watching you. It's okay if all of this stuff watches you. I don't mind if all of this stuff watches you. It's what they do with it. For example, let's take your instance of the officer being able to stop your car because he thinks you're doing something wrong. I don't mind that. That's fine. If he wants to stop a car because he thinks they're committing a crime or they're doing something wrong, then let him do that. But if I'm driving along and he stops my car because he thinks I'm doing something wrong and he investigates and finds out I am not, I want to have recourse. I want to be able to get something out of that. Because if I am going someplace, for example, let's say I'm going to a job interview. I mean, that's the big thing nowadays. Nobody has a job. They want to go to a job interview to be able to get a job. Okay, I'm on my way to a job interview, and I have to be there at a specified time. While I'm on the way, then a cop decides, okay, I'm going to stop this car because I think he's weaving too much, and he's probably drunk. So, okay, he stops my car, pulls me over, reads me the riot act or whatever, gives me some sort of a test, and discovers that I have not been drinking because I do not drink, never have drank, won't drink. So he can't prove that I have. Then he decides, okay, well, I've done nothing wrong. I apologize. Go away. And I get to my job interview late. I do not get the job. I want recourse. I want to be able to sue him for having done that because he had no positive proof that I had doing anything or no even positive consideration of me doing anything. So there's got to be some sort of recourse in this whole thing. Right now, you can't do anything. Cops break into your house and tear the place apart looking for something. You're stuck with the bill. You can't do anything. That has to change. We can't give them carte blanche to just control our lives. To watch, to think, to listen, and if we do something wrong, then fine.
Well, and how much do you want to tie the police, the cops' hands? I mean, there was a case on I-5 this week earlier where they OSP pulled over somebody for minor offense, illegal lane change or something, and brought out the drug dog, and during his brief time of being sober, and they discovered a huge amount of methamphetamines in the car. I forget what exactly what the drug was, but
I just told you, as long as you're doing nothing wrong, then I don't see a problem. If you're a drug runner or a booze runner or you're, you know, capturing someone and holding them against their will for ransom or something like that, that's doing something wrong. If you're doing something wrong, then I am not at all upset about him being stopped.
Okay, but taking your example, the officer had no idea at the time that this person was a drug runner. So they stopped him for a minor violation.
But he still was.
Well, yeah, he still did something. Well,
I've been pulled over. What's that?
Oh, you cut out there.
No, I would say, there needs to be a violation involved. There needs to be something wrong. I've been pulled over myself for saying that I was drunk and DUI. I have never drank booze, never in my entire life. Well, and driven. I mean, when I was young, I tried it at times and decided I didn't like it, but that's another story. But anyway, I don't drink. I've never drank. Don't smoke. I tried that early in life and decided I didn't like it. Much because I'm way too cheap to do either one. But anyway. All it is a nuisance, an absolute nuisance. And, these nuisance stops are the ones that have to stop. I mean, we've given the officers way too much freedom to do whatever the hell they want. And that's partly what this law in Arizona is about. We're giving them more freedom to just pull you over, so to speak, or even stop you on the street anytime they want to. That has to be limited. I don't mind if they have the freedom to do that, but they damn well better be able to back it up. So if they pull you over, what that does, of course, means is they're going to stop you for longer because every time if they find out what they stopped you for wasn't legit, then they're going to look for something else. So you better be squeaky clean But what's wrong with that? What's wrong with us being squeaky clean? We should be squeaky clean anyway. Why are we doing all this illegal stuff that supposedly, I guess, we're doing? I don't know. I try not to do all kinds of illegal stuff so that, you know, cop can talk to me any day they want to.
Well,
if they find that.
I kind of agree with you on one respect. It's like 2 weeks ago, coming back from the coast, about 11 o'clock at night, we're on 34. And there's on the left-hand side of the freeway, I believe it was Benton County Sheriff, had somebody pulled over. And as per the law, in a two-way road, you know, we slowed down. You know, well, because the law says so anyways. But I guess that made us suspicious because as soon as the officer cut the guy that he had pulled over loose, he turned around, followed us, and I knew that he was on my tail because I recognized the marker light, and waited for any excuse to pull us over. Well, the excuse that he found is that coming out of a slow lane or passing lane, I did not signal. So that was enough to flip the lights on, and he pulled me over. It was very polite, by the way, and ran my ID and ran the ID of my passenger.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we were kind of teasing that we were gender profiled because, of course, we're both female.
Yeah. Which could be, I don't know. I have, you know, other people see things that are going on in other people's cars. I don't, all my life, I've never saw things that were going on in somebody else's car. I can't see into other people's cars.
Well, it was obvious he was just pulling people over, because as soon as he cut us loose, he floored it and went and got somebody else. So.
Well, that's the economy. Yeah. You know, he has to prove his worth, I guess.
Anyways, 8 minutes remaining in the show, 646-721-9887. There's still time to get the call in if you'd like to join us on your thoughts about this, black boxes, which I still think there should be limitations. Or, for that matter, if you're going to record the data, how about give me access to the data?
Well, here's one. Okay, the Times Square bomber, remember him?
Yeah.
The detectives that were looking for him actually had footage from more than 80 cameras, 80 video cameras that keep watch on various and sundry things that are going on in that neighborhood. And of course, you know, getting a hold of him is a very important thing. And so obviously he has some really, really good things in this particular case. I mean, but 80 cameras on Times Square, that's quite a lot. That's quite a lot of being watched, and every major city has this now. Every, you know, well, I guess you can consider Eugene a major city. I don't know, but I know they have cameras everywhere, and every business, every store has cameras. And like I say, the cameras are getting good enough that you can watch people from across the street and home in on them and find out what's going on and who they are and that sort of thing. So it is a real major thing.
Well, and kind of going a little away from
cameras. First of all,
you're cutting out again. Going a little ways from the camp issue.
I'm not here.
You're just.
Oh, the black box.
Yeah, the black box thing. One thing that I definitely don't like, and Oregon is considering this thing to replace their gas tax, is the GPS in cars. I don't want government tracking where I go. Not that I have anything to hide. I just don't want them tracking me.
You know, there's an interesting thing there. In other countries, they have different kinds of taxes. I really got to me at one point that I know in Germany, for example, they have government, or did anyway, I haven't checked recently, but did when I was there in the 60s, have government-sponsored radio stations and television stations. So you could watch radio and television, and originally the idea was there were no commercials. But then it came to the point that, of course, they get most of their programming from some other country where there are commercials, and so consequently they get 22 minutes into the hour and the program's over and they have nothing to do. So now they started selling commercials, but they were running them all at the end. But the point that I was getting at is that other countries, they charge you per radio or per television, so that they can run these broadcast stations. And what are we getting into here? Are we going to be start charging, like you say, per mile on the highways? Do we want to do it that way, or do we don't want to do it like they're doing it on the East Coast with toll booths toll takers and stuff like that. But are we going to need to pay for our highways that way? Why can't we just pay for them the way we were with taxes?
Well, in getting back to like the GPS, which is kind of similar to the black boxes, in fact, that was a topic that in 1995 is how I started my blog, is because the Register Guard, the local Eugene paper, would not print my letter, about having GPS installed in your car. Briefly, how it would work is that because cars are getting better gas mileage, or with the electric cars, you know, they're not using fuel at all, the state is losing money or losing revenue because they're not collecting as much per gallon tax. So the idea they came up with is to put a GPS in your car that will track how many miles you have driven, where you have driven, what time of the day you have driven, because they're also going to have a, like say you could be driving on I-5, for example, at 3 a.m. in the morning, and it might cost you a half a cent a mile, where if you're driving at 8 a.m. or 5 p.m. during the congestion period, you might pay 4 cents a mile, called a congestion tax. Anyways, when you pull up to the pump, the GPS system will communicate with the pump and therefore determine how much money you owe in road taxes. Are you still there?
I've been going in and out, as a matter of fact, unfortunately, but I got most of, I think, what you said. That's where we've got to change the system. On the East Coast, yes, they do try to track this by mileage. But I don't know if anybody realizes this, but all this is doing is adding another tax. We need to just pay the tax and then not worry about the mileage because, you know, somebody has to pay for the roads. Somebody has to pay some of it now. So somewhere along we have to pay that tax. But that's one of the changes that we have to have in government. We have to be a little bit more.
And he's cutting it again. Well, welcome to live radio, folks.
And we've lost control of that entirely. Totally.
Oh, we lost control.
What happened here?
Signal.
Yeah, you. Oh, okay. Well.
Again, at least. Well, the other thing is that I don't know if it's Cliff or it's me that's going in and out. I guess we'll find out when we listen to the archives. Anyway, 3 minutes remaining. You can still get a quick phone call in, 646-721-9887. Even though we didn't touch too much on the black box, my final thoughts on that is that I, for one, would like to know if my car is telling on me, in other words, if there is a data recorder inside there, how much data it's recording and who has access to it, just so I know that it's there, if for nothing else. I have no objection to recording if they're in the event of an accident, like they do with the aircraft, but the other information that it can collect is kind of where I draw the line. And I guess Cliff went bye-bye again. So anyways, with 2 minutes remaining, we'll go ahead and just finish up the show here. Again, thank you for listening, and welcome to our guest in the chat room. Again, it's too bad that being a guest. If you're a regular visitor to Blog Talk, go ahead and sign up for an account. And it is free, and you don't have to sign up as a radio broadcaster. You can just sign up as a user, and that way you can comment in the chat rooms. If you do have a show suggestion for next week, be sure to send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We'd love to hear your comments and suggestions, and tell us what you think about the show. Your feedback is very important to us, and it helps us to improve what we do on. Any other shows, whatever. That really makes your blood boil, send us an email. Love to talk about it. A lot of times I'm listening to a talk show and I'm just going, I can't tell better you don't crap. So again, thank you for joining us. We'll be back next Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. See you then.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.